body, with ourself, with our human side, with our physical side. It's attached to it, not physically, but it has an attachment to it. And this is a place. It will never leave it. As long as a person lives, the soul will not leave it. In the same way that as long as the embryo growing in the womb of the mother, it does not leave the womb world. It's there. There are another similarities, is that the embryo, the womb of the mother is not a place for the embryo to live in all its life. Oh no, it's only a temporary period, a transitory period, during which time the soul, the embryo will grow in the womb of the mother. You see the similarity again with the soul? This world that we live in is not a place for the soul. This is not its home. This is not its permanent home. This is a transitory period. Every one of us, whether you are 50 years old or 100 years old, that we live in this world, the soul is with us for that period in this world. But this is not its home. Oh no. This is a transitory period. You see how important this point is? If only mankind will realize this, humanity will realize that this world is not a place to focus all our attention to, as if we are going to live in it for all our life. You see? It's not. It's only a transitory period. Another similarity is this, that the purpose of the embryo growing in the womb of the mother really is to acquire limbs and organs. Limbs and organs grow so that it becomes a perfect human being. And the same thing is with the soul in this life. The purpose of the soul being with us is that it may acquire spiritual qualities, qualities and perfections and virtues that it has to acquire in this life. This is the purpose of it. This is the purpose of it. You will find that when we look at creation in this light, you can see what God really has done. He has brought two opposite things together. One, something material in this life, and has attached to it, spiritually attached to it. Be very careful, because we mustn't use the word attachment. Attached, spiritually attached to this body, a soul. And these two together have produced a human being. We call it a human being. And this human being has two sides, his physical and his spiritual side. And the purpose of all of this is that this spirit, the soul of man, may grow and become spiritual, acquires qualities and perfections. Now again, we will find another thing. We will find that most of the limbs and organs which the child acquires in the womb of the mother are not needed for him in his embryonic life. He doesn't need his hands and his feet and his eyes. Doesn't need them, really. They are needed in the next life, when he's born. And so, you see the similarity again? How much you read in the writings, that the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá, how much we read that all the virtues and perfections that we are supposed to acquire in this life, they are really needed in the next life. We must acquire them for the next life. And indeed, when you think carefully, you will find that these virtues and perfections that the soul acquires in this life, whether you use them here or not, in this world, you still can live. Although we must use all these virtues and qualities in this life. For example, we must love. And if we don't love, this virtue of love will never grow in our soul. But there are millions of peoples who live without it. And yet they carry on their life. The love that we have in here are when our soul acquires these qualities and perfections, when our soul acquires the quality of love, when our soul acquires the quality of unity, when the soul acquires the quality of knowledge, when it acquires all the other virtues that are in the teachings, in the next life, these qualities and perfections become part of his being, perhaps. We don't know. But it appears that way. All I can say, it appears. You know, a child in the womb of the mother has two perfect eyes towards the end of his life there. Perfect eyes. But he can't see with it because there is no light. Those eyes are useless in the womb of the mother. But when he's born, those eyes become useful, because there is light. And it appears. It's the same thing with our qualities and perfections of the soul. These qualities and perfections that we acquire in this life is for the next life, so that they become active, or whatever is the word for it, which we cannot use a word, we cannot find a word to describe how these qualities and perfections, the love and knowledge and wisdom which we carry with us to the next life, how they will become part of our spiritual beings and how they will begin to function spiritually. And then there is another principle here, which is very interesting also. Another similarity. You see how many similarities there are? You will find that if the child does not acquire its limbs and organs in the womb world, he cannot acquire them in this life. You cannot acquire limbs and organs in this life, which will be just natural limbs and organs. And he is handicapped. It seems to be the same thing again. This is why we have to acquire them in here, all the perfections and qualities and virtues. Our soul must acquire it in this life and must take it with him into the next world. Definitely, this is a taking away from this world, all those qualities and perfections. You see now here what God has done again. You will find that he has brought together these two opposite forces, the material and the spiritual. But at first, when he brought them together, at the time of conception, there was very little, nothing. You could say there was really nothing. There was only one cell at the time, and there was the, what we cannot call it anything, we'll say the soul. The soul was created, but the soul had no qualities and perfections. Now, what has happened to it? Look at what's happened to it in this lifetime of 60 or 70 years that we live here. Look what happens to it. That soul which came to us 70 or 80 years ago when we were born or was conceived and had very nothing, no qualities and perfections, now it has acquired all the qualities, perfections, virtues. It has carried on the teachings of God. It has recognized God and has recognized all kinds of things, has grown enormously spiritually. See the difference then? And this is the purpose. In one of his in the writings again, we come across other analogies. The analogy of the bird being placed in a cage. It's very similar to our soul in this life. The bird being placed in the cage. What is the purpose of the bird being placed in the cage? The purpose is to feed it, so that it may get stronger and stronger every day. So that when the cage breaks, the bird is strong and take its flight in the realms of God, in the realms above. Because really the home of the bird is not within a cage. The bird is created to live in a high place, not in the cage. But in this form of association, as I said, like the bird and the cage, we find that we can therefore during this period feed the soul, make it strong. But then what do we do with it? What does mankind do with this soul? What does he do with this bird within the cage? Do we feed the bird? Do we feed the soul? As I said, we don't even think about it. I'm not talking of people who believe in a religion and believe in God. But I'm thinking of a great number of people today who never think of their soul, let alone to feed it. To feed it with the spiritual food, which is the Word of God. We don't do that. And so the soul becomes a midget, small, tiny little thing, never grows. And yet, another thing we do, we tie him up, so many strings here and there, so many attachments we have into this world. We tie the wings of our soul to material, to the material world, so tight that even when the cage breaks, the bird cannot fly. He's still attached to the things of this world. Now, there is another principle in nature, and that is that everything returned to its origin. Everything returned to its origin. The body of man is composed of atoms. And therefore, when a person dies, the body decomposes and it returns to its origin, which is dust, which is this earth. It returns to its origin. The soul also returns to its origin. Where did it come from? We are told in the writings very clearly that the soul has come from the spiritual worlds of God. So where does it return to? It returns to its origin, which is the spiritual worlds of God. But what a difference! When it first came, it had no virtues, no qualities, no perfections. Now look at it. It has got an identity, a personality, and Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá have told it has got an identity, a personality, and Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá have told us that we will retain that identity in the spiritual worlds of God. He says we will associate with one another. He says the holy souls will associate with the prophets and the founders of great religions and the manifestations of God in the next life. It's not something that you lose consciousness of who you are. Now, let me say here another thing, which is also important to talk about when we are talking about the soul and the spiritual worlds of God. Where is the next world where we are told our soul is to go to? We are talking about the spiritual world. And Baha'u'llah tells us that the spiritual worlds of God are infinite in range. It's not just one spiritual world of God. It's infinite in range. In fact, anything which is associated with God is infinite. Anything. There is never limitations with God. Anything that he has created is infinite. Look at this universe. This physical universe is infinite. And the same thing is with spiritual worlds of God. It's infinite. But where is it? Now, in order to appreciate that, as I said, we can take the help of two things. One is the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá, and the other one is look at nature. And let me take you to nature first, and look at nature. And when you look at nature, you will find, when a child is growing in the womb of the mother, where is he? Where is he living? When a child is living in the womb of the mother, he is here in this world, isn't he? He is moving in this world with his mother. Only a small barrier prevents him from recognizing this great world, but he is here. Have you ever seen in a farm when an egg opens up and a chicken comes out? Where was the chicken before the egg breaks? He was here. But there was a shell which prevented him from seeing it and recognizing it. And so we are told that the next world is here. It's here. It's closer to us than we think. And there is another thing here, a similarity. You know, a child, as long as he lives in the womb of the mother, he is not given the capacity to understand what a small place he's living in comparison with this world that he's going to be born into. Very small. But the child has not got the capacity to understand that. He does not know. And so he's content. If God had given him the slightest capacity, that he knew what a small place it is and what a great vast area awaits him, then you would have a revolution on your hand. Really? You wouldn't want to come out. You want to come out immediately. He didn't want to stay there. And the same thing is with this in the writings again. It's mentioned that if ever the glory of the next life was disclosed to the eyes of men, then all humanity would wish to go immediately. And maybe they would commit suicide. Who knows? They would want to go immediately. The same God which has not given the capacity to the child to understand the smallness of the place he lives in and the greatness and the vastness of the universe which awaits him, the same God has not given us, as long as we live here, the capacity to understand what the soul is, in fact, and what the world that awaits him after separation from the body. But we are told very clearly by Abdu'l-Bahá that the next world, or this world, is as small in relation to the next world. This world in relation to the next world is as small as the womb of the mother is in relation to this life. That gives us an idea. Exactly the same thing. But it is not disclosed to our eyes once we are living in here. We don't think about it. We cannot understand it. We cannot appreciate anything about our existence in the spiritual worlds of God. We cannot. And then, let us go a little further. We find that when a child is born, he brings with him everything it has. He does not leave anything behind. Everything that it has, he brings it with him. It's the same thing with us. When we go from this world, when the association of the body and the soul comes to an end, and we say a person dies, the body remains on this earth. The soul departs. The shell, so to speak, breaks. You know, the shell that I was talking to you, like the egg, the shell of the egg, and the chicken comes out, in that very crude analogy. At the time that we depart from this world, we carry with us anything which is good. We cannot carry with us anything which we call it bad. Because bad has no existence of itself. Now don't misunderstand me when I say that bad has no existence of itself. There is plenty of bad things in the world, plenty of it, more than any good in this day and age particularly. But it has no existence of itself means bad is the lack of good. When a person is bad, you can say he's very little good. That's what it means, really. Whatever he has is positive. A bad man is a very little good man, or a very, very little good man. You see, poverty does not exist in a sense. It has no existence of itself, like darkness, which has no existence of itself. A darkness has no existence of itself. Light has. You can carry light from one room to another, but you can't say to a person, bring some darkness with you. It's the same thing with poverty. If you are a poor man, you can't say, I'm a very poor man and I'm coming to your house and I'm going to bring all my poverty with me. All your poverty means you have very little money. That's all it means. And that is what we take to the next world. Whatever is good that we have, we can take with us to the next life. And from there, we start our spiritual life. It's like a capital that you have. Someone has a large capital, someone has very little capital, and then we start our spiritual journey. Depending on what we have acquired in this life, what qualities and perfections we have acquired in this life, it decides the level on which we are going to live. This appears to us. From the writings we know one thing, and that is, Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá have told us that in the next life, man will be graded humanity will be graded, will be divided into levels, levels of existence. It's not surprising. God seems to like this.